This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Welcome to the Friday Night Halakha. Alhamdulillah, today we have a wonderful extended and special program, which I'm really excited for. I'm glad many of you are here, alhamdulillah. And I'll share with you a little bit about the program schedule, inshallah, and then we'll kind of do our typical work that we do related to our halakha. So inshallah, first things first, we're going to inshallah continue as we normally do with a little bit of Quran recitation and dhikr. And then we're going to focus on the topic for today, which is continuing the discussion on Asma'illah al-Husna. Today, subhanAllah, the topic is specifically on mercy, which is a beautiful, wallahi, it's a topic we absolutely need right in this moment, subhanAllah. We'll continue that until Aisha prayer. Aisha comes in here at the masjid at 8. And then, inshallah, the Qari Umar will actually be doing dua in Nasri, or a portion of it. And so we'll join him for that. We'll join the Aisha prayer in Jama'ah and then also the dua. At that point, we'll be joined by Ansa Sumaya, which I'm really excited to have a wonderful guest visitor who is here from Syria directly. And is a hafidh of the Quran and someone who's done all of the Ashar Qira'at, all the 10 canonical recitations, and this is kind of her specialty, mashallah. And so she's going to be leading us in a Qiyam program, which will focus on, we'll do some recitation of Asma'illah al-Husna with her. We'll also do Yasins together, and I'll explain that when we get to that section, inshallah. And then we'll also pray the first part of the prayer before the 9 o'clock pickup for the girls will be Salat al-Tasabih, which we'll also explain how to do that. For those who can stay after 9, we'll have like a little break between 9 and 9:15 for everybody to get whoever they need to from the kids and transition time. And then we'll start a second portion of the Qiyam, which will focus more on, like 12 rak'ahs of Qiyam al-Layl and the Dua, inshallah. So that's kind of our program for the evening. So it's an extended program tonight. For those of you who can stay, please do. I think it'll be a special treat for you, inshallah ta'ala. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started. Normally we start with recitation of Quran, so let's do that together. We're going to do Surat al-Mulk first. If you'd like to grab a mushaf either from the masjid area or if you have it with you or have it memorized, inshallah. And we will be back. Just move this so I can see a little bit better. I don't know what's going on here. Oops. Okay. All right. So just in one voice, kind of in unison together, we can read together, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم رجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبض ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين الله رب العالمين بارك الله فيكم إن شاء الله what we're going to do next إن شاء الله is our typicals hang on that does not belong there what is this we're in the wrong place I don't know where that was. Kind of fun looking things, which is not our topic for today. Alhamdulillah. All right. Try that again, inshallah. All right. So inshallah, we'll do our dhikr. For those of you who've been with us in the halakas, you'll know that we do 7 adhkar at the beginning here. And again, later in the qiyam, we'll have like a portion dedicated specifically to dhikr. This dhikr, inshallah, is going to be 7 of 7, so we'll read each of these 7 times. But before we start, inshallah, please take a moment to kind of just center yourselves, ground yourselves, which essentially means kind of feel the ground under you or wherever you're sitting, center in and focus on what you're going to say and try really hard for your dhikr not to become repetitive. Focus on the meaning and the words. We'll have the translation, the transliteration, and also the Arabic on the screen. So you're able to follow along, inshallah. But really think about the meanings and try to connect to them. That's how you'll get the most out of the dhikr, inshallah. Sound good? All right, so 7 of 7, inshallah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. 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 حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. 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 يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أغثنا. 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 لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. سلام قولا من رب رحيم. 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 ليس لها من دون الله كاشفة. 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 اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا 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 وحبيبنا سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. Inshallah. All right, just give me a moment here, inshallah. I'm going to go this way. All right. Inshallah. That way I could also see our sisters who are online. Assalamu alaikum to all our online folks. Inshallah. Allah bless you all. All right. Let me get that there. Alhamdulillah wa shukra lillah. It's wonderful to be here in sisterhood and company on a Friday night, as always. How was everyone's break? Alhamdulillah, shukra lillah. They continue to be very difficult days. Wa tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all, make it easy on all. Tonight, inshallah, and subhanAllah, just what a beautiful and special treat that we end up having. It happened very last minute. Some of you are familiar with Ansi Sosan Imadi, who's, of course, a dear teacher to me and has been to many of you, actually, in the last year or two, on and off in her visits, mashallah. But then we found out, subhanAllah, that her eldest daughter, Ansi Sumeya, is visiting here in the Bay for just a few days. So we're really excited to actually host her and have her, inshallah, lead a Qiyam dhikr portion for us, inshallah, for Palestine. The idea here is to kind of focus our du'as and our energies, inshallah, and uplifting. Really, honestly, it's Palestine plus. It's like all the many other countries across the ummah and humanity that are dealing with so much. Certainly our hearts are with Gaza that has been started to be bombed again, all over again, subhanAllah. And so I know that I really needed some time to just be in just a spiritual connectedness kind of space. And it's a real amazing thing when you have a, just getting to witness and to sit in the company of women scholars. And so Sumeya's specialty actually is Quran and Dhikr. So she's a hafidha and has her 10 qira'at, mashallah. Somebody who's, I think, a hafidha from a very young age, mashallah. But really like one of those very passionate about Quran people, alhamdulillah. and dhikr. So I'm really excited, inshallah, that after Isha, some of you heard the program, I can announce it to everybody again, just so you know what we're doing. Until from now till Isha time, we'll kind of do our typical discussion of Asma'ul Husna for the halaqa. And then after Aisha, we'll join Qari Umar for a short while he does dua in Nasri, which is dua of victory, inshallah. And then we'll come back into this room where we'll start our program. The first thing we'll do is a group recitation of Surat Yasin. And I'm going to be asking for those who can recite fully Surat Yasin from beginning to end of the surah. We're trying to collect as many Yasins as possible, essentially is what we're trying to do here, including the sisters online, and I have a form for all of you guys that I'll put on the link a little later, inshallah. We'll see how many Yasins. We'll do one Yasin collectively here together, but we're kind of counting them, essentially, is what we're doing. We'll do a recitation of Asma'ul Husna together. We'll also do, and then we'll do Salat al-Tasabih, which is a prayer that the Prophet really recommended that people do at least once in their lifetime, preferably once in a year, once in a month, once in a week, once in a day, whatever you're capable of. But it's a prayer, it's a nafil prayer, an extra prayer, that has both, it's the prayer and has the dhikr in it. And so we'll kind of explain to you how to do it, because you're praying, for those of you who prayed it before you pray, and after, you know, with the typical things that you do, the Quran and the surah, but then you do dhikr as well, and we'll explain this, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar, and you do this in each of the sections of the prayer. So it's a little bit of an extended prayer that has both prayer and dhikr as part of it, inshallah. So we'll do that together. And that will take us until about the 9 time, when some of the moms will have to pick up their girls from the program. And then 9:15, we'll take a little break, and 9:15, we'll continue on our Qiyam program, or we have an extended program for Qiyam, Qiyamul Layl, and we'll do that until 11, inshallah, both Qur'an and Dua and Dhikr, inshallah. Sound good? You guys excited? I am, alhamdulillah. It's always amazing. You guys haven't met Ansa Sumaya before, so it's kind of fun to introduce a new woman scholar. She's been in Syria this entire time, actually, as people have gone, traveled in different places, she has stayed. When I saw her the other day, I was like, oh, Syria, inshallah. It was like just a beautiful kind of feeling. SubhanAllah, she reminded me so much of Syria. I will also say some of our Rahma women's teachers, I should have said this on the announcement, but forgot, subhanAllah. Many of you, for many, many years, have actually been part of collecting for an orphanage, a Syrian orphanage that we as the Rahma Women's Halakha, for many years have been supporting, actually. And I'm always cautious about giving money to something unless I know the person can like directly hand deliver it, or I trust the organization that's going to hand deliver it. So in this case, she will directly hand deliver it, inshallah, to the orphanage. I feel really bad that I completely forgot to tell you guys to, if you'd like to bring any sadaqah with you, but maybe we can also figure out how else to get to her. But if you have today anything you want to contribute, that might be a good idea, inshallah. And then there's some other wonderful causes for Gaza as well. So that's our story. Sound good? Alhamdulillah. So let's begin, inshallah ta'ala. So for those of you who are following, we're following the book loosely, but we're roughly on page 24, inshallah. Yeah, I'm going to ask for you if Zelle is an option. Someone's asking, is Zelle an option? I will figure that out, inshallah. I'm going to have to ask her that question, inshallah ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. In the last several weeks, we were focusing on the first couple of chapters of the book. For some of you that are following with us, it's Ustadha Jinan Yusuf's book on reflecting the names of Allah, and another wonderful woman scholar. As you can tell, I'm always promoting our women teachers and their works and their contributions. May Allah bless them all. We love our male teachers and scholars, of course, something special about our women teachers, alhamdulillah. So in the, many people have written about the names of Allah and have had different orders in how they've actually ordered the names, what they start with. And just as a reminder for all of you, when we started, do you remember what the very first name is that we covered together? Al-Hadi, Allah bless you, mashallah, Al-Hadi. And the reasoning for that, according to Ustadha Jinan's book, is that she says Al-Hadi, the guide, is the whole idea of studying the names of Allah is so that you're guided to knowing Him. You're guided towards Him so that you may get to know Him, and in getting to know Him, you're really much more firm in the practice of the deen, mashallah. And then the second name, do you remember what we covered last time? What is it? We with Al-Hadi, we covered Al-Rashid, yes, together, excellent. And then the next week we covered Al-Rabb, exactly, the Lord. And we said that is, when the Prophet ﷺ received the first of revelation, what was that first verse? Iqra' bismi rabbika ladhi khalaq. So the Rabb is right there, is right in the first introduction of the first name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rabb. Today we're going to cover Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And here, again, when you open the Qur'an for the first time, the very first verse you come across is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And yes, I know that there's a difference of opinion on whether the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse or not in Fatiha. Most say that it is. And so it's there, you'll notice it has a number one as the in the Mus'haf, right? And then we say this before every surah that we recite, except for one, Surah At-Tawbah, mashallah. And anyone know this tidbit? There's another place where Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is listed as an ayah within the Quran. What is it? Surah An-Naml. Excellent. MashaAllah. Excellent. Excellent. So actually, technically, you have it in all the you have it all the times. MashaAllah. So let's talk about ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim, because these are names that we say so often, because we say the Basmalah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so many times in our prayers during our day, every day. And for many people, these are some of the most familiar names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me ask you this. If I were to say, every sister, turn to your fellow sister, right? Turn to your right. Everybody turn to your right, turn to your right, turn to your right, turn to your right. It doesn't work that way. Every two people turn. MashaAllah. Turn to each other. There you go. MashaAllah. And you have 10 seconds to introduce yourself. Not your name, and not where you live, and not what you do, right? How would you, in adjectives, explain yourself? Go. Go. What adjectives came up? You can't have nothing. Not a mihna, not an occupation, not what you do as a job, an adjective about yourself. The sisters in chat, how about you? Beautiful, caring, responsible, peace, loving, caffeinated. Inshallah, compassionate, creative. I love it. I love it. How about from the sisters in the room? What did you say to each other? How did you describe yourself? What did you say? Honest? Kind? Patient? What is it in the back? Compassionate. Passionate. Nice. Curious? Loving? Caring? MashaAllah. Hardworking. May Allah bless you all. So now let's draw attention back, inshallah. I love that you're, and by the way, I'm glad that you had a chance to meet your fellow sister. Alhamdulillah. Always a beautiful thing. Now think about this. Think about how all the adjectives that you mentioned, all these beautiful adjectives that you mentioned. Now think about Allah Azza wa Jal. When He decides to describe Himself to us, to introduce Himself to us, what does He first describe Himself as? Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim show up right in that very beginning, right? Say in the name of your Lord, right? Right? The merciful, the compassionate. It is translated in slightly different ways depending on whose translation you're looking at, but most people would say mercy or merciful. Now think about this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us first impressions, right? First impressions matter. First impressions about Himself, and wants to set the tone for what's to come. He's wanting to tell us about His majesty. He does not say about His majesty or His strength or His power or His might or His ability to take or His ability to give, right? None of these things are how He first introduces Himself. Jalla jalaluhu. Instead, He starts with Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, explaining to us that He is compassionate, that He's somebody who's very, just overflowing with tenderness and affection for His ibad, for those that He's created. And one of my favorite hadith, honestly, one of the very favorite, I'm sure everybody has like a series of different favorite hadiths, you know, that you've heard over time. Certainly one of my most favorite hadith is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with his companions, and it's a difficult time. And I think this is, subhanAllah, it's so, when I reread this hadith, all I can think of was Gaza. That's all I could think of, was Gaza. And he's describing a time in which there has been a battle that's happened, and it's the aftermath of the battle. So it's chaos. There's been death, there's been destruction, there's chaos happening. And there's a mother who's running frantically through all this chaos trying to find her child. You've seen images, and I've seen images of Gaza. And you have seen this exact image play out on your screen, where a mother is running, calling, trying to find where the child is. Are they alive? Are they under rubble? Are they lost? Where are they? Are they with a neighbor? Where are they? So here, in a parallel story, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's witnessing a mother running through all this chaos trying to find her child. And then she finds him. And she picks the child up, and the first thing she does is nurse him. Have you seen some of the videos where a mother is reunited with her child in Gaza? Where they don't know where the child is for periods of time, and then they're found. Maybe they were with a neighbor, or maybe they were just stuck somewhere, or whatever it may be. And the kind of, and you, many of you who are mothers or are spiritual mothers, if you're not biological mothers, you have a sense of what that's like to lose and then to find. Do you know that feeling when you lose and then find? It's like this incredible tension and then a relief, right? An immense release. And you're so overtaken by emotion that all you can do is cry. Even though you're happy, but all you can do is cry. It's just this release of emotion that happens. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking at this entire scene of the mother who's running through, trying to find her child, and calling out, and eventually finds the child, and then immediately nurses this child. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to his companions, and he says, "Do you see this mother? Do you think that this woman would take that child," she's nursing him, yeah, "would take this child and throw the child into the fire?" The companions are like, what a strange question, right? She finally found this child that she was so earnestly looking for. And they said to him, "No, by Allah, she would never do such a thing." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allah the Exalted is more merciful with his slaves, his ibad, than this woman is with her child." And in this narration, you understand the kind of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Because in the hadith, the Prophet could have simply said to his companions, "Allah is as merciful as a mother is with her child." He could have just said that. And some people could have understood it. But some people may have had a difficult relationship with their mother and have actually put onto that difficult experiences and deficiencies onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do instead? He gives an example of what's happening right in front of them. Talk about kind of like a learning in the moment. And he says, "That is mercy. That's what I mean by mercy. And Allah is more merciful than this mother is to her child." So that it makes sense to all of us who either are witnessing it directly or have experienced it. And so this idea of, subhanAllah, these difficult things that we're seeing, I keep thinking about this. I was telling a group of people earlier this week, we had a program at Stanford for about Palestine. And I said to them, I'll first speak, there's different reasons why I'm up here, you know, as your professor, as your teacher, and so on, but I'm now speaking as a mother, first and foremost. And every time I witness, it's really hard. I know, and you know, how hard it is to get off our phones. The scrolling, I mean, it's just, you're kind of like, it's like this sense of like, I'm exhausted, but at the same time, I feel guilty for feeling exhausted, but I need to know, and I wanna make dua, and I wanna support in however I can. And it is hard too, because again, as a mother, knowing that my children are nearby and witnessing so much of this as well, or at the very least just seeing their parents having a really hard time, and especially for the little ones that may not fully understand what's going on exactly but know something is off. I think the hardest thing, Yarab, in this last little bit here, there was a picture It was part of a video in which a little boy was came out of the rubble and is full of dust. Just the hair dusty, face dusty, clothes dusty, everything's dusty. And my husband was watching this, looking at this, and our youngest came up and looked at the phone, which we try hard not to. I mean, it's just, it's so hard in these moments. And he looked at the phone and he said, "Baba, why am I wearing that shirt?" The child looked so much like him, he thought it was him, but he just didn't recognize the shirt. And I think that's what, this is where like the flood of emotions comes, and you're just like, you realize that this, how close to home all of this actually is, and how much our kids have also internalized everything that's happening as well. Even the littlest ones that can't fully comprehend or fully even speak exactly what's happening. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. For me, every time I witness and see the pictures of the mothers especially who are holding, forgive me, I have to just speak my truth right now, but holding these bags in which there are remnants of their children in it, and they're hugging them and holding them for the last time, or that very, very, may Allah bless him, that grandfather with his daughter, or granddaughter, right? You saw it this past week, right? Ruh, ruh, he kept calling her, the soul of my soul, right? Just wanting to see her eyes one last time, or just wanting to hold her one last time, kiss her one last time, one last time, one last time. And it is so hard not to see your own self, your own children, your own niece, nephew, siblings, you know, directly in this. And that emotion, that connection, that feels so like you're there, right? We have all these fancy mental health terms for what's happening, the kind of traumas we're experiencing, even from a distance or from within the phone screen of, you know, a vicarious trauma, like within, from afar. It is still a trauma, and if it allows you to remember Allah, to turn back to Allah, to thank Allah for what we have, every hug of every child, honestly, every hug, all I can think of are these children. Every time I hug my children, every hug. Forgive me, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful than even this mother to her child, or this grandfather that we just saw, ruh, ruh, right, holding his granddaughter. Allah's more merciful than that. When you can embody and see mercy embodied, then you have a sense of what is this mercy that we're talking about? What is the quality of it? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What is it, right? Otherwise, it's very theoretical and kind of far. But then when you put it in actual examples, then you understand and see, right? SubhanAllah. Look, I know what I shared was really hard, and I don't even necessarily want to apologize for it, although I realize for some what I shared was hard. So for that, forgive me. I was listening to the other couple weeks ago, there was a talk at one of the dinners by Brother Mahmoud Abdul Rauf. Do you know who this is? Yeah, I shared with you that I played sports growing up. I'm going to give a lighter moment for a minute. Anyhow, it was kind of fun to actually see him in person. I'm one of those like OG basketball players that like watched him when he was actually still in the league playing. And I told him that, which was kind of fun. But he said something in the talk that really kind of resonated with me, and I want to share with all of you. It was a beautiful thing. He said when he sees these difficult images or difficult news of any sort, even if it seems far away or unrelated or not the same kind of background as him, somebody who's not connected to him, something that doesn't seem like it has anything necessarily to do with him, but when he sees something that's hardship or loss or suffering, he immediately says, what if this was my child? What if this was me? He turns it immediately. And then it shifts. Because if you could see in that picture of the little boy who's all dusty and rubble, I could literally see my son in him, literally, like future, subhanAllah, to the point that he as a kid thought it was him. Imagine. When you do that, you start to practice empathy. Empathy is literally putting yourselves in the shoes of that person. And sympathy is at an arm's length. That's too bad. Ya haram. Right? Bichari? Is that how you say it? Poor kid, poor person. Arm's length. But empathy is in you are putting yourself or your child or whoever in those shoes. The reason I mention this story or the kind of this very profound thing he was saying, how when he converted to Islam, one of the many things that he appreciated and one of the things that really solidified for him and changed. And imagine somebody who's like, what did he tell? He said when he, some of you may know his story, that he took a stand, right? Like he decided not to stand for the anthem when they were, you know, for the flag. And that caused a lot of issues. I don't know who was around back then watching and knows the story, but it caused a lot of problems. People called him un-American, et cetera, et cetera. SubhanAllah. And he did not want to stand for a flag that he felt was causing so much harm across the world. And so he was saying that going through all of those things, kind of shifting, that even the couple of games that he got suspended from, I think he said, I could have the number wrong, but per game, in those years, he was making like $35,000 a game. So imagine. So you understand like what, you know, a professional basketball player, what they make? Do you understand like how much they make? Right? It's a whole different lifestyle, completely different lifestyle. And yet here he is saying when he became Muslim, he wanted to break some of that. And part of breaking some of that was actually this concept of empathy, of putting yourself in the very shoes of the person who's experiencing that hardship. So as hard as it is what I just mentioned, it's actually a really powerful exercise. And I encourage you to consider it, but also give yourself pauses and give yourself some grace through it all, because sometimes we overdo it as well, and that's not very useful. Let's go back to Ar-Rahman, and back to the woman that we were talking about, where the Prophet ﷺ is expressing how the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than what this mother finally finding her son and then nursing him and taking care of him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is all-encompassing, and it's overflowing kind of mercy. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you're young or if you're old, if you're somebody who's rich or poor, Allah's mercy is for everybody, believer or non-believer. And this one always gets me, subhanAllah. This idea that even somebody who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejects Allah altogether, is still receiving Allah's mercy by the very mere fact that they wake up every morning and are able to breathe the next day. It's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cutting that off just because they don't believe in him. He's still providing. And the hope is, until your very last breath, there is the door of tawbah, right? Of repentance is open. Also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, I'm going to read to you the translation, when he describes himself in the Quran, in terms of mercy, he says, and when those of you come to know, when those of you who believe in our verses say, peace upon you, your Lord has decreed upon himself mercy, that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself, indeed he is forgiving and merciful. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We'll end in just a minute here. The idea here of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I have written upon myself mercy, meaning that he's absolutely guaranteeing that he is somebody who's going to be merciful with you regardless of whether you sin or don't sin, of whether you're somebody who's close or whether you're far. This concept of mercy is something that brings people so much closer. Wallahi, I saw this beautiful clip. You know all the many, 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 many people who are starting to read the Quran right now who are not Muslim? I think in Halakha last time I called them our TikTok shahadas. Inshallah. It is amazing. One of these, may Allah guide her, I don't know if she's become Muslim just yet, but she's been reading Quran, and they go on to TikTok and explain, like they say, oh, this, look at this verse, this is amazing, look at this, you know. I don't know if you guys have been watching or following any of this, it's fascinating, fatah barakallah, and may Allah bless and guide, ya Rab. But it's so interesting that so many people have picked up Quran in this way to read. One lady, she was in tears, and just sort of saying, look, I grew up as somebody who's Christian, And my understanding of God was somebody who is wrathful, who is punishing, who punishes, who is distant, who is, you know, this is her explanation, her description of however she understood God growing up. She said, as she was reading the Quran, and this is what was making her tear up, she said of how merciful, mercy, mercy, mercy keeps coming up over and over and over again in the Quran. This is somebody who's reading for the first time, doesn't know, that's not anything about Quran, right, is reading for the first time, and what she's struck by is how Allah describes himself as being merciful over and over and over again. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially saying, right, describing how close he is to his servants and how close he wants people to be to him. And that he answers and that he's listening and that he's there. She said, I never knew a God like this. Well, the God I knew was a distant God. This is someone who knows me because he created me and wants me to come. So don't ever feel this name of mercy, of Rahman, is beautiful regardless of how far or close a person is, right? Subhanallah. And so we'll kind of close with this because it's almost close to Aisha time now, that this all-encompassing mercy means forgiveness. So just remember that all-encompassing mercy means that he is all-forgiving. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and you, and let's catch Aisha, inshallah. Allah ybarik fikum, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Online, we're going to just pray Aisha. So give us about 10 minutes, and then I'm actually going to take the computer outside so you can hear the Aisha and hear the dua, inshallah, the Imam's going to be doing. He's doing dua al-Nasri, or the dua of victory. So join us, inshallah. Keep on with us, inshallah, because you'll hear that, and then we'll start our Qiyam portion, inshallah.